Tonight I'd like to deal with a bit of a difficult issue. It really has two aspects to it. Really, we know that Hashem controls everything. Kol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. The only thing we have the ability to do is to choose to make the decision, the moral decision, to do either what's right or what's wrong. But the implementation and how it happens and if it can happen and all of the physical, material props and everything that has to take place, Hashem controls everything. That we know very much. We know is clear. We also know that there's, and we've studied this and discussed this here many, many times. It's a long time already we've been meeting at this table. And that is that the Baal Bitochin has the power to influence the outcome of life situations. To the degree, the Chofetz Chaim writes, that he has that trust, that confidence, that he's ready to go into the wheelbarrow on the tightrope. It's to that degree that he will receive the desires of his heart, will influence the elements or the situations that are going on around him. And everything can fall into place according to his level of confidence that he has in Hashem, that in fact it will be so. And the question is, does that in any way curtail Hashem's ability to conduct his world? In other words, what we really seem to have, and this is very on the surface, and we shouldn't stop at this point, Cholila, but what seems to be is a bit of contradiction. On the one hand, Hashem controls everything. On the other hand, he gave us control, because he says to Habotech Hashem Chesed Yisovevenu, one who puts his trust in Hashem, he'll be surrounded with Chesed, and Chazal say, Afilu Rosho Habotech Hashem Chesed Yisovevenu. Because they bring it from Pesach, Rabbi Machoivim LeRosho, greater the pains of a Rosho, V'habitech B'Hashem Chesed Yisovevenu, Afilu Rosho, who puts his trust in Hashem, he will be Zoicha to the Chesed. And you don't have to be religious, that Bitochon, I guess, that's what it amounts to. If you put your absolute trust in Hashem, but again, trust doesn't mean just to look at the other guy on the tightrope, trust means that you're going to go into the wheelbarrow on the tightrope. If you have that, then you can assure that you won't fall. You can assure it if you had that pitochon. So then, is there any limitation to Hashem's power? That's really the issue. A bit philosophical, but that's the issue that we would like to discuss this evening. Now, I thought, or one might think, well, yes, there must be some point at which the Baal Bitochon is limited in his influence. Why? Because Chazal say something else. See, Chazal say, Kol ma de'ovid rachmona le'tavovid. Everything Hashem does is for the good. Now, maybe this thing that he wants is not for his good. So then Hashem is going to stop it. He won't let it happen. Hashem controls everything. So on the one hand, you say the Baal Bitochon can accomplish anything. Afilu Rosho B'Teich B'Hashem. But what if it's not for his good? He wants something which is going to be his downfall. Hashem doesn't let it happen because Kol Ma De'Ovid Rachmona L'Tavovid. Everything Hashem does is for the good, and therefore he'll only allow good to happen. So then it seems that there is a limitation to the Baal Bitochon. So is there a limitation to the Baal Bitochon's power? Because if it's not for his good, Hashem won't let it happen, even though he's so batuach. Or is there a limitation, cholila, kavi yochel, to Hashem's power? Because the Baal Bitochon has the power to accomplish anything. So that's, you know, sounds a bit philosophical. It's not really that philosophical. So I would like to just offer two suggestions to deal with this. One is a concept that we find indirectly in Parshas Veschanan. Very strange thing happens in Parshas Veschanan. Moshe Rabbeinu is told that because of the Maisa and the with the not speaking to the rock, that he and Aaron are not going into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Voeschanan el Hashem, and Moshe Rabbeinu is mispalel kiminyan voeschanan, 515 tefillos that Hashem should revoke the gezerah and he should be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. 515 tefillos. The pasuk then says, Hashem says to Moshe, Al toisef daber elai badover hazeh. Stop. Don't ask again. Chazal say that had Moshe Rabbeinu been mispalel one more time, he would have overpowered the gzeira, and he wouldn't have been able to go to Eretz Yisrael. So what do we see over here? We see tefillah, which tefillah is a we've discussed here, and we've brought from the Goyin and from others that tefillah is a sort of a step towards bitochen. The Goyin says the sherish of the word tefillah is a positive machshava. Tefillah inspires bitochen. When you turn to Hashem and you praise Hashem and you recognize everything comes from Hashem and you're asking for everything, you're strengthening your confidence that He's the right address. That's the place to go. That's where it's going to come from. So what does Hashem do? Hashem doesn't say no. Keep davening. It's good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mesavel tefillos shel tzaddikim, Chazal say. That's why the Emohis didn't have children. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu craves the tefillos of tzaddikim. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs it. Because the tzaddik elevates himself every time he davens, he gets closer and closer to Hashem. If it's heartfelt, if it emanates from the heart, it's avodah shebalev. That's what happens. So over here, so Hashem could have said, keep davening. You're not going in. It's a gzeira. Gzeira himilfonai. Finished. You can't go into Eretz Yisrael, and that's all. Hashem says, no, al toisef daber elai. It seems that Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability to overpower, overwhelm, break, rescind that gezerah, and Hashem seemed to have one recourse, and that recourse was, please stop davening. I beg of you, stop, because you should not go in. I don't want you to go in. There are probably, many people say different things, global considerations, national, eternal considerations why Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have gone into Eretz Yisrael at that point. And if I beg of you, stop. Because if you continue, I will have no recourse but to allow you to go in. The same thing applies when you take tefillah to the next level, to a higher level, which is bitochon. Now, we've discussed here many times that bitochen is a higher level because the Orach Chaim HaKodesh says in Parshas Bishalach that when they're standing on the edge of the Yamsuf, Paro is pursuing from here, the sea is raging over here, wild animals on both sides, and they're calling out to Hashem. Vayim Hashem el Moshe, Matitzak Elai! Davarel b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. What are you crying to me? Speak to b'nei Yisrael and tell them to go into the Yam. And the Orach Chaim asks, Matitzak Elai? To whom would you recommend that I turn and I pray to? You know, Mama, Matitzak Elai? You're the only show in town. I say that. You know, there's nothing else. There's no one else to turn to. What kind of talk is that? And the Orach Chaim says that there was some type of a kitrug on Klal Yisrael because of what happened in Mitzrayim, the Rabbi Dezora, and the Sultan had the right to interfere with the tefillahs that they were using. The kitrug was the tefillah is not going to help. But Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu a secret. Davar el Bnei Yisrael v'yiso. Speak to Bnei Yisrael. Tell them to show their emunah bitochon. He says, and that will override even the inability of the tefillah to help. So bitochon goes even beyond where tefillah can't tread. So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, Al toisef daber elai. Stop! I beg you, because if you ask one more time, I'm going to have to give in. What happens to the Baal Bitochen? Baal Bitochen also has a power. It has a power beyond the power of tefillah. So what happens? What it seems happens is Hashem interferes with the Bitochen. Now, in our lives, He doesn't tell us directly, stop. I mean, unless anybody here has had that type of communication. I don't know who these people are, you know, I really don't know who you brought here. But if we haven't had that type of communication, so then Hashem has other ways. He interferes. He confuses us. He distracts us. There's a beautiful Chassidish story Now, again, the stories, I don't know, you know, if this, I don't know, I can't take responsibility for a story, I don't know, but it's a beautiful story. And the story goes that there was some younger man who was very, very sick, and this Rebbe came. I couldn't figure out from the story who exactly, whether it was the Baal Shem or somebody else, and he came. And he saw that they did everything already. They were mispala. They said tilim, and all the doctors were there. Everybody gave up. He says, "I'm not going to let this happen." He says, "I'm going to work on my bitochen to save this younger man's life." He's like a man with children and this. And with that, the Rebbe left. He went back to his place, to his town, wherever he came from. And he kept asking his gaboyim to go to the inn, the local inn, and see if anybody came from that place to see how that younger man was doing, if he was, you know, if he got better. And so far, no news. It was the winter, the snow, and people weren't traveling. Then all of a sudden, it started to spring a little bit, and he says, "Go and find out. Maybe there's someone there." So he asked the innkeeper, "Is there anyone from that shtetl?" He says, "Yeah, a woman way in the back. There's a woman there from that shtetl." They go, they knock on her door, and they ask her, "You know, we want to know how that younger man is doing." And she turns her face down. She says, "He's not here anymore. 2 weeks ago was his levaya. Finished. All right. What could they do? They have to go tell the Rebbe. This is terrible psura. They come to the Rebbe. They tell the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, 'Skonet sein. Der junge Mann ist gesund und fein.'" This is Yadal Erlich saying this whole story in Yiddish, so forgive me, you know, he sings it, but I'm going to spare you that. So he says, "Yeah, no, it can't be. The junge Mann is well. Go back and find someone else from that shtetl and find out what really happened." They go back and they see two people there from that shtetl. They say, "Baruch Hashem, a grace and ness happened. He's well and this. We saw him in shul. Everything is fine." Okay, the gaboyim faint, and then they revive them, and then they run back to the Rebbe, whatever it is, old story, you know. And everybody's running after the beautiful little story. Anyway, if they come to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, "Yeah, good, Baruch Hashem," he says, "my bitochen didn't fool me." Later they come back, and he closes the door. Later they come back. What happened? The man died. He didn't die. Now he's alive. What's this? So the Rebbe said, "You know, you people worked hard on this case. I'm going to tell you what happened." He says, "The Sotan was fighting the Malach HaMovis." Sotan and the Malach HaMovis are one and the same. It was to take his life. And I was fighting him with my bitochen, because my bitochen, that he's going to live, didn't allow the Malach HaMovis to do his job. I guess he had a license, but he couldn't execute it because of my bitochen." He says, "He was desperate, the Malach." I say, here's where I can't take responsibility for these things. I don't know how anybody knows these things, but the concept is so beautiful. He says, he was desperate. He didn't know what to do. He got dressed up in like a woman, and that lady that you saw was the Malach HaMovis. And he figured, if he will tell you that the guy died, then I will give up on my bitochen. He'll have an itzochen." It all rhymes too in his thing there. So he says, the younger man's life was hanging by a thread. At that moment, had I given up my bitochen because I heard that he died, the Sotan, the Malach HaMovis, would have been able to take care of him. But Baruch Hashem, I didn't, and he was able to live. So it seems, I mean, again, the story is a story, I don't know, but what seems is very real is this idea that the Hashem, and if it's sometimes it could be the Malach HaMovis, the Sotan, whoever is the agent involved here, the means to override the bitochen is to shter it, is to undermine it. If it remains firm, and again, firm, we mean firm. You know, we've discussed here many times that bitochen can be maybe in your moshul, it's also the same thing. It can be lip service. You know, yeah, bitochen, sure, everything is fine. But you know, is it real? Is it 100%? Or like Rabbi Saul Salanta has a moshul, a guy bought a lottery ticket, he says, "Have bitochen, you'll get the 10,000, whatever," and it goes by and he didn't get it. He says, "You still have bitochen?" He says, "Yeah." He says, 100%. He says, "Will you sell me the tickets for half price?" He says, yeah, you see, who are you fooling? You know, so it has to be real. But that real bitochen, it seems what the Rabbeinu Shalalem does is, just as he told Moshe Rabbeinu had a direct conversation, don't daven again, because that'll make the difference. To the Baal Bitochen, sometimes he says, Ad kan, I'm going to interfere with your Bitochen, I'm going to distract you. You know, Chazal say, but David HaMelech knew he was going to die on Shabbos. So what did he do? He knew if he's learning, he couldn't, the Malchamovas couldn't get him. So Malchamovas, I guess, was getting desperate because he wanted to get him. It was his, I guess he was, you know, he was given Rishus. So he, as a little fly or something went into his ear. It stared him from his learning. That's it. So that's the methodology, it seems, that with Bitochen too, that just like by Tefillah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't do it, because if you continue, I'm going to have to give in. By Bitochen too, I would say the same thing, that what he does is, in some way or another, if he speaks directly, if we're on talking terms, so he'll tell us directly. If we're in this generation where we don't have that direct relationship of Nevuah anymore, so he makes it happen in some way or another, that he'll shter the bitochen. Now, but then I would have said that there's another thing also, because as we mentioned originally, everything Hashem does is for the good. What if this bitochen is leading me to do something that's bad? I want something to happen. I want a certain shidduch. I want a certain a certain business deal. I want this. I want that. You know. And it's not good. Bitochen. So, what happens? It's not for my good. In fact, many people feel that that's why they can't have bitochen. That's one of the kashas. The real kasha that the Rishonim ask is that how can a person have bitochen that something's going to be shemagora machet? Maybe he's not worthy of it. Right? How do you know? I trust Hashem's going to give me this amazing, amazing brocha. Maybe it's not coming to you. Maybe you don't deserve it. Maybe you're not worthy. How could you trust? So that's, there is the power of trust, it seems, is an emotional surge from within. And intellectually, I don't know, maybe I don't deserve it. But Hashem, even if people don't deserve, Hashem gives, I just feel, I just know, something just tells me he's not going to let me down. Okay, fine. But the question is, what about if it's not for my good? So not for my good. So I have bitochen, but it's going to hurt me. This is bad. So for that, I found something very interesting. And it has a bit of stuff that's a little mystical, which is beyond what I can handle. It's the Maral. The Maral has a lot of that. But even the pieces that we can read, I think, are enough to give us the answer to this question. And that is as follows. Oh, I'm sorry. So the question is like this. Let's think about it for a moment. There are two famous statements in Chazal about relevant to Bitochen. Relevant. One is Rabbi Akiva, who says, Kol ma de ovid rachmono letav ovid. And Rabbi Akiva was sure the whole Maisa, the fire went out and the donkey was killed and the rooster was killed and everything. And he says, you know, Kol, everything was for the good. And the next day he found out that he's in the forest, and had he been, the rooster made noise and the donkey made noise and the light been on, he would have been taken over by these bandits and he would have been finished. So, Kol Mada Rachamot Hava. Nochem Yish Gamzu came along with something else. Gamzu L'Toivo. Is he adding something? And everybody talks about this. Is it different? Is it the same? Gamzu, what's the Gamzu? Everything is L'Toivo. So Gamzu means something which appears not L'Toivo is also L'Toivo. Kol ma dov rachmon letavov. It says kol ma, Rabbi Akiva said. Kol ma includes even something that doesn't appear for good. Everything is for the good, whether it appears good or not. So what's Nochem Yish Gamzu adding? And people say different things. But look at the Maral. Lekach omar gamzu letoivu. Nochem Yish Gamzu. Rotzo loyma. She gamzu. Let's look. One more second. Back up. I'm sorry. Just one second. What was the maisa that this is going on? The famous maisa where there was a gzeira, the Romans made a gzeira against Torah and mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, where the Romans were still in control of Eretz Yisrael. So the Chachomim sent Nochem Yish Gamzu, this great Baal Bitochen, this tzaddik yisoid olam, to Rome, to the Caesar, with a box full of jewels and gold and silver, whatever, in order to appease the Caesar so that they should rescind the gzeira. he stops at an inn on the way, and the goyim get wind of what's going on there, and they open his box when he's sleeping, I guess, and they fill it with dirt, and they take the gold and the silver. He goes to the kesar. And here we have two girsois. In the old girsa, it says he saw that it was dirt and he gave it anyway. In the our Gemara, there seems to be a tikkun that says he didn't know that it was dirt, so that's why he gave it. And then when he saw it was dirt, he had bitochan anyway, and then Elio Anovi came and told the king, maybe it's like the dirt of Avram Avinu that turns into arrows, and when you throw it, and he saw it, and whatever, the whole story. But there's another girsa, and it sounds to me like the Maharal is going with the original girsa, is that he gave the box of dirt to the Kesar. Chachomim sent him to give this box to the Kesar. He has bitochan, you know, he's not worried, but look what he says. If it seems like punishment and a terrible tzora, I would say that sounds like it means he sees that this box is full of dirt. His full bitochen boruch bitchu Hashem adead forever and ever. K'moish yisbar nase letav letoiv hagomur. It becomes good, complete good. Because his bitochen is in Hashem. V'yochol hu yisborach sheyia ze letoivo. And Hashem can make it letoivo. Sounds like what he's saying is that Nochum is standing there, and he gives this box to the Kesar. And whether he knew it before, he didn't know before, he finds out that it's full of dirt. He's in trouble. This is a punishment. This means that not only is Klal Yisrael in trouble with the Gzeiris, but that the Kesar is going to destroy Nochum and probably go back to Eretz Yisrael and then wipe them out altogether. I mean, this is like a terrible punishment. So he says, Gamzu L'Toiva. So he says, the Ayedei HaBitochoin Nase L'Tav HaGomor Ki HaBitochoin Yisporach Ki HaBitochoin Bo Yisporach Bitochoin Him V'Yochol Hu Yisporach Sheyeh L'Toiva. Hashem can make it L'Toiva. Sounds like what he's saying is gamzu letoivo, means like this, that even though this thing is really bad, what's happening now is a terrible tragedy, and this giving this box to the Kesar is going to be the end for us, but his bitochoin can take it from the terrible tragedy that it is and transpose it, Hashem, not him, his bitochoin doesn't do it, because he trusts Hashem, bitchu b'Hashem adeyad. And Memela Hashem can make it for good. Sounds like the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works is to the true Baal Bitochon, that if he's not deserving, still have Bitochon and it'll work. And even if the thing that he's trusting Hashem is not good, in other words, if the result happens, your trust, if I grant you your trust, that which you're trusting me to give you is going to destroy you. You know something? No problem. I can make it for the good. I can take this box of dirt, which is a terrible tzora for Klal Yisrael, and turn it into the dirt. He sends Elio Anovi, who announced to the king that maybe this is the dirt of Avram Avinu, and it becomes arrows, and he tested it, and it became arrows, and he won this battle with his enemy. I can do anything. So, in other words, it comes out that even the fact that something is not for my good is also not a limitation to the power of bitochon. Why? Not that Hashem is going to let something bad happen to you if you have bitochen. Hashem doesn't let anything bad happen. But gamzu letoivo, even bad, even something which is be'etzim evil, giving dirt and whatever that box had, that junk, to the Kesar is evil. That's trouble. There's no two ways about it. The Kesar will either kill you or go back there and say whatever. It's poronius. He says, but no. Gamzu letoiva. Everything this also is for the good. Why? Because Hashem changes it and makes it for the good. That's what he says. And if you continue after the brackets, Dova zeh meira shehu yisborach hadovor shenir era hagomor yochol asus menu hatoiv hagomor. Hashem, that which appears to be the ultimate evil, he can make it into the ultimate good. Chol zeh bepneiko shehu yisborach echod uveyodo hakoil. Because he's one and he can do anything. And therefore, from that which seems to be the ultimate evil, he makes it the ultimate evil. Let's continue after the brackets. Ulekacho yenikro nochem ish gamzu v'havein hadvarim shehem amukim. Zu ki nirmas hakol b'loshen zu v'amitim. And he says, kamo godol midas habitochon sheboitchem bo yisporach b'chol lev ad shekol advarim nasim loy letoiva gamzu. This terrible thing is also going to become letoiva kamo shoya eitzel Rabbi Akiva v'eitzel nochem ish gamzu. That's the way it worked by Rabbi Akiva, even though it was a terrible tragedy, he killed out all his things, but it was good. Hashem takes the evil and turns it to good, because there's no limitation to him. Oh, this is a terrible thing. Who says? It's a terrible thing. It's not a terrible thing. Voila, that's it. Now I made it, oh, it's a terrible thing. It's not. So that's it. So Memele comes out like this, that even the limitation of Bitochon, which would be, we would have thought, well, if it's not for your good, Hashem's not going to let it happen, because Hashem only lets happen good. That's true. But you forgot one thing. To the Baal Bitochon, Hashem will be mehapich, the worst puronius. What can be worse than giving dirt to the Kesar, destroying, he'll have a vendetta against Klal Yisrael. He'll come in who knows what. No. Make it look good. How do you make it look good? He made it look good. It's the dirt. He sent to the Anobi, the dirt. This is the dirt of Avraham Avinu. It turns into arrows. Yeah. And that's it. And the Gzeira, it seems the Gzeira was nullified after that. So that's the concept. So in other words, the power of Bitochon is so acute, is so powerful, that not only that can I override the fact that I may not deserve it, and I guess l'chura, the way that works is because emotionally, you feel that confidence in Hashem, and once you feel that connection to Hashem, then Hashem says, "Ooh, you deserve special treatment." In other words, you may not have earned this. It's almost like I have discussed many times, like an entitlement. You didn't earn it. According to what you earned, you didn't earn this beautiful result. But you know, you're about Bitochon. You're entitled to it. That statement of Bitochon was so powerful that now you're entitled to get this. Now, that I can understand, even though I'm not worthy. But what if it's not for my good? No. The Maharal teaches us that even if it's not for your good, Hashem will turn it around and make it for your good. And that's the power of the Baal Bitochon, which comes out like this then. Then Hashem, it seems, I mean, it's not fair for us to talk this way because we can't, you know, really comprehend this. But it sounds like that the recourse that Hashem has to interfere or to not to grant the Baal Bitochon his wish is the same recourse that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to Moshe Rabbeinu not to grant him his tefillah. And that is in some way to stop him. Because if, in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu would have continued with the tefillah, he would have been answered. If, in fact, the Baal Bitochon would maintain the course and refuse to be shaken in his Bitochon, like Nochem. Nochem saw this is dirt. Comes on the table. I think it didn't faze him. Non-pulsed. It didn't faze him. I'm giving the case on dirt. It's all over for me, for them, for everybody. No, gamzu le teiva. The ultimate tragedy. This is not, maybe it's not for my good. This is for sure not for my good. What could be more not for my good than to give the Kesar, to make a fool of the Kesar? But the Torah says, no, Hashem is mahapichit, because he's a koil yochel. He could turn dirt into arrows. He could send Eliyahu HaNavi to tell the Kesar that this is what it is. So the power of Bitochon, it seems there's only one limitation as far as we can see, as far as we know, to the power of Bitochon. And it's not the fact that I don't deserve it, and it's not the fact that it may not be for my good, because there's ways around that. There's only one thing. Sometimes Hashem will say, hey, I have to interfere, I have to confuse you, I have to shake you, I have to distract you. And the distraction could even be momentary. We don't know, you know, at the crucial moment. You know, I know of a situation where, you know, the family feels that way to some extent, where a family member was very sick, was very serious, and underwent treatment, and the doctor announced that the treatments were successful. That's it, treatments. And a little while later, it was all over. And the feeling that they had was that the doctor interfered with our bitochen because we relaxed. You know, it's all the worst is over. It's a very tricky situation. Have to keep that focus intense, and we can't allow anything to interfere. Because, oh, you hurt. Oh, you're, oh yeah. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Oh. That seems to be so. The power of bitochen is limitless, except for the effort that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, if absolutely, because ultimately he controls everything, if absolutely, for whatever the reason may be, he doesn't want those results. He's, you know, loy machshavei sai, machshavei seichem, loy darcheichem, derochoy, he knows better, and he will interfere with the bitochen.